21-year-old South African sprinter Oscar Pistorius has a lifelong dream to compete in the Olympic Games, an ambitious goal for any athlete and seemingly out of reach for someone whose legs were amputated at the age of 11 months. Oscar Pistorius runs on carbon fiber artificial limbs called the Cheetah Flex Foot, thus earning him the nickname the Cheetah. Last year, the International Association of Athletics Federations decided the artificial legs gave Pistorius an unfair advantage and ruled he could not compete against able-bodied runners. He then appealed to the Court of Arbitration for Sport, and last week that body overturned the ban. Oscar Pistorius is now eligible to compete, but there's no guarantee that he will qualify for the Beijing Olympics in August. He joins us in just a moment. If you'd like to speak with him about the ruling, about what it's like to run on carbon fiber legs, or about his plans to compete, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. Oscar Pistorius joins us now from his home in Johannesburg, South Africa. And nice to have you on the program. Congratulations.
Thanks very much, Neil. Nice to be on your program.
I guess now the hard part begins.
Yes. You know, everybody's saying, well, the pressure's off now, but I think the pressure's actually just begun. You know, the one thing I can say, though, it's a positive pressure now, you know, and it's something that I enjoy doing at least.
And as I understand it, you're going to have to improve your best time in order to qualify.
Definitely. You know, and I'm not even at the best shape that I was last year at the moment. We've been dedicating so much time to the court case and to the various tests that we've been doing that my training's kind of taken a second seat for the last couple of months. But we're looking forward to, you know, the next couple of weeks of extreme hard training.
And again, at least you like it and you're back doing something you know how to do.
Definitely, you know, I think everybody's saying, you know, the pressure's on now and that sort of thing. But, you know, the last 5 months, I've kind of been kept in a box from you know, something I love doing, the passion of my life. And I think now getting the opportunity to once again do it, you know, it's just given me more fire and more go ahead just to you know, give it more and give it gas.
And I also know that, well, there's a certain curiosity factor, and that you have been invited to participate in meets fairly soon. Are you planning to go?
Yeah, I'm leaving next week Wednesday for Europe. I've got a couple of Paralympic meets. And then in the beginning of July, I'm running in Milan and in Rome and in Switzerland in Able Body International meets once again. So I'm extremely happy about that and I'm really looking forward to it.
And at that point, well, you've got your career back.
Yeah, I mean, that's for me. You know, when we found out on Friday, when we found out the initial ban in December from the IAAF, it was a huge disappointment and really, you know, something that really got me down and created a lot of speculation about the legs. And little did I know it was going to be 5 or 6 months of the hardest of my life. But, you know, we went through the different tests and the different trips and a lot of scientific studies and things, you know, and we proved that the prosthetic legs don't give me an advantage. But, you know, we're very lucky, and I'm very relieved when the decision came out last week, Friday, just to be able to do what I love again and, you know, just to get back in shape.
There are people who are upset with this. We have an email from one of them, Ryan in Alexandria. This is a pure case of apples to oranges versus apples to apples. Allowing Oscar Pistorius to compete in Beijing is unfair. I commend him for becoming a superior athlete despite the loss of his legs, but studies on the blades he uses reveal a competitive advantage. I would be very upset if I'd trained my whole life and lost a race to him on what I believe to be an uneven level of competition.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as I just said, the tests that we conducted were done by the 10 of the top biomechanic and kinetic scientists in the world, and we did the tests over 21 days. So, you know, obviously his email's not right. I don't know where he got his tests from.
let's see if we can get a listener on the line, and this is Brett. Brett with us from Champaign, Illinois.
Hey, how you doing, Oscar?
Hey, I'm good, and yourself?
I'm doing well. Hey, I actually have prosthetic legs, so I commend you and I really look up to you.
Oh, thank you so much. That really means a lot to me.
Well, I actually didn't lose my legs when I was little. I had an accident about 2 years ago, and I fell about 75 feet and lost my legs. And, you know, I'm never going to be able to run again, but I really look up to you for all that you've done. And I think it's really unfair for someone to say that it's an advantage it's an advantage to you with the cheetahs, because I think that's totally off.
Brett, give us some idea what it's like to learn how to walk, much less run, on artificial legs.
It's it really was just an experience for me that, it was hard. It was about a year and a half of therapy, and learning to walk again at 18 years old isn't something that I looked up or wanted to do, obviously, but even though running, I mean, I can't imagine that, and I've been following Oscar very closely, and I just wanted to say thank you for all the inspiration you showed to me.
Thank you so much.
And Brett, good luck to you.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Oscar Pistorius, this happened to you when you were so young. I'm sure you don't remember.
Yeah, a lot of people ask me what's it like having prosthetic legs, and for me, I kind of answer and say, well, what's it like having real legs, because I've never had any other, or never, have a recollection or memory of having anything different. So for me, it's become second nature. I mean, my prosthetic legs are as much of an extension of my body as a hand or arm would be. So, I mean, I'm pretty used to them by now.
Yet these special carbon fiber J-shaped legs that you run on now, the Flexfoot Cheetahs, they were only developed, I guess, in their first form, what, about 10, 15 years ago?
Yeah, they were developed in 1997, and they've been around since then, and the majority of the top Paralympic sprinters use them. It's not necessarily just a sprinting leg. It's designed as a high-activity sports leg, so it's basically anything from, if you just want to do jogging to golf, that sort of thing.
Do you remember the first time you put a pair of them on?
Yeah, the first time I put a pair of them on, I was very unsettled because they don't have a heel, so the balance is very difficult on them. And I started running on them, and I was running on a cricket oval. And on the perimeter of the cricket oval, it had about a half a meter high brick wall. And I couldn't slow down. I didn't know how to, and because of, not the absence of a heel. And I ran straight into this wall at about 7-8 meters per second. And I took all the skin off my shoulder and on my wrist. And I thought I'd never, ever run on these things ever again. It was extremely hard to balance, let alone, use them. And I think after, a couple of months of just persevering and adapting to them, I got a bit more confident and that sort of thing. And yeah.
Is it suddenly like being equipped with a kangaroo's legs? Are they very bouncy?
I guess they're not bouncy at all. It's a passive prosthetic, so it can't generate more energy than it's put into it. It's made of 80 layers of carbon fiber, more or less. And it returns about 70% of the energy that you load into it. So if you imagine, like a typical pirate's peg leg, that wouldn't return any energy. But in the same sense, as it doesn't return 100% or more of the energy. If it created its own energy, then it would be an active prosthetic. What they often refer to as prosthetic sometimes being active, where you have the bionic approach to the prosthetic leg. So this is a very passive prosthetic, the cheetah. I guess the difference between it, this leg and the cheetah and the everyday walking leg, that the cheetah doesn't have a heel on the back and it doesn't have any cosmesis, but it's a little bit lighter and it's more sport specific.
Let's see if we could get another caller on the line. This is Tony. Tony with us from Sioux City in Iowa.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. It's the first time I've ever been on. I love your show. And Oscar, I just wanted to say that you're really inspiring. I'm completely out of shape, so I have to hand it to you for being in shape and, competing at that high of a level.
Thank you so much.
I just wanted to say, and I apologize in advance, I don't mean to be rude, because me and my friends have been talking about this, and we're actually really excited about it the first time I heard about your story, but I just was wondering why, when they first told you that you could not compete because it may or may not give you an unfair advantage, but then another decision handed by the, I think you said it was the arbitration board of sport, I think.
Of arbitration?
Yes, yeah, and they said that you could compete. Why is that, and did it, just to dispel any rumors, did it have anything to do with, I guess, trying to, open up the Beijing Games a little and give them some more positive publicity? I mean, would it have?
No, not at all. It's completely independent sport governing body, and basically what the Court of Arbitration does is they usually do a lot of the disciplinary hearings and that sort of thing, and it usually involves with the sports governing body as the one party and then the athletes as the other party, and both represent your case or your side of the story. With your evidence and your testing and that sort of thing, and they make an independent decision. And it's basically world acclaimed judges from different countries all across the globe And they do it independently, so it's completely independent of any country or governing body.
Isn't this the same
decision?
Isn't this the same body, for example, that decided about Floyd Landis?
Yes, it's more or less.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I see that. That definitely clears that up for me. I kind of had suspected that was the case, but I. And then, just out of curiosity, why did they decide that it would not give you an unfair advantage?
We had to do several tests in America after the IAAF sanctioned their tests, and the aspects that the IAAF looked at were really only a tiny percentage of the overall picture. So the test we did, the test that the IAAF did, they did with one scientist over 2 days. The test that we did were 10 of the top scientists in the world in kinetics and biomechanics over 21 days. Far more in-depth and far more, they looked at, they didn't only look at the prosthetics, they looked at metabolics, at VO2 max of the volume of oxygen, they looked at the video analysis, they used the pressure plates, they used, different measurements for the prosthetic leg as far as energy turn and contact time on the treadmill and on the track.
Correct me if I'm wrong. As I understand it, the one test suggested that you did get an advantage on a straightaway, but then the other test said, well, that doesn't necessarily apply to the acceleration phase or to taking the turn, which you have to do in the 400 meters, and so overall there was no advantage.
The IWS test indicated that I used less energy at constant speed, but they used a formula which is VO2 max, which is volume of oxygen used. And volume of oxygen used you can only use to indicate aerobic exercise, which is endurance exercise. Sprinting isn't an aerobic exercise, it's an anaerobic exercise, meaning that it uses the cells in your body to create the energy, not oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
So they admitted at the end that they'd used the wrong form of, hypothesis and
the wrong measurement. Yeah.
The wrong measurement, basically, to test, and they took that back at the end. But, it was unfortunate because they actually only looked at the advantages during steady-state running. They didn't consider the acceleration phase or any disadvantages, the net advantage or the net disadvantage. And later on, our scientists proved that the only advantage, the single advantage that they had wasn't even an advantage, it was a disadvantage.
Tony, thanks very much for the call.
Yeah, thank you both. It was really great to be on.
We're talking with Oscar Pistorius, the amputee athlete who's been cleared to compete against able-bodied runners. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go to Alan. Alan with us from Princeton, Illinois.
Hi. I had actually been wondering about how they determined that the prosthetic didn't give you an advantage. You explained that. But I'm kind of curious, would it be possible to design a prosthesis that would be more efficient than a normal the leg of a normal trained athlete?
Yeah, engineering can do amazing things. Yeah.
Well, can it? That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah,
definitely. I mean, they've really got prosthetics that are, the difference, what I was trying to explain earlier, is the difference between passive and active prosthetics. I mean, they've got all the top prosthetic companies at the moment, but the latest thing are bringing out active prosthetics as far as hydraulics and battery-operated and that sort of thing, which are far more active. I mean, they can generate their own power. They've got some are even, operated with battery packs and hydraulics and that sort of thing.
Sort of like an Iron Man suit.
Yeah, definitely. It's a good movie, that, by the way. I think just as far as technology goes, there's never going to be a limit on it, but that's luckily one thing that the Court of Arbitration has definitely specified in the ruling, where they said that each prosthetic leg is going to have to be reviewed by the IAAF before they make a decision on it, which I think is also very important. You don't want someone going and creating a prosthetic leg or using a prosthetic leg that would give him an advantage in that sort of competition.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Alan.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And let's see if we can go to Kirk. Kirk's with us from Chicago.
Hi there. I just wondered if the prosthetic legs that he uses to run, are those the same legs that he uses in his day-to-day life?
No, they're not at all the same. The ones I use in my everyday life have got a heel. They've got cosmesis on them to make them look like real legs. And the ones that we run on haven't got a heel. They're basically like a bigger model of them, and they're a little bit lighter because of the lack of the cosmesis.
Can I ask a dumb question? Do the regular legs come with shoes built onto them, or do you go out and buy shoes to fit them?
No, you can go arts and bar shoes. I'm very lucky for that.
Okay. Thanks very much, Kirk.
Thanks.
Let's see if we can squeeze one last call in. This is David. David with us from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I've been following the story now since you were first told that you couldn't compete. And I'll tell you, I couldn't be happier for you. I'm very, very excited. And, I'm an athlete myself. I'm a cyclist. And, I have a fused ankle and some other orthopedic issues. But, it just proves to show that if you have the guts and the gusto to go for it, that you can do anything that you want. You definitely have my support.
Talent probably helps too.
Oh, and the talent, exactly. Now, I think my cardiovascular status is a little less than what Oscar's is there, but the question that I have...
And if also, you could make it really quick, because we're running out of time.
Definitely. How often do you have to change the foot part, when you run that impaction... how fast does that impact the carbon fiber itself?
The Cheetah I've had now since June 2004. I haven't changed it. I've had the exact same one, and my times have slowly progressed and got better on that. But the bottom heel pad we change maybe two or three times a season.
David, thanks very much for the call.
Thanks so much. Good luck.
And Oscar Pistorius, I just echo David's words. Good luck to you.
Thanks so much, Neil. I really appreciate it.
Thanks very much for your time. Oscar Pistorius with us on the line from his home in Johannesburg in South Africa. He hopes to compete in the Olympic Games this summer on artificial legs. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News in Washington.